to the Sakuga City Spring 2018 Anime Podcast thingy. I am your friendly neighborhood Dutch review guy, Kerberos, and I am here with Sora and Pinky.
Hey.
Hi, I'm Sora. That's Pinky. Don't get it twisted.
Nice. All right, and we are here to talk about all the new anime this season. Two things just to mention in advance, or rather one thing. No sequels, no continuations, and no shorts. This is just basically because we tended to get rather overworked back when we also covered those. And the thing with these sequels and continuations is you already know what to expect anyway, so there's not much to talk about. So, with that out of the way, let us get started with the first show of the evening, which is Real Girl. So, who wants to complain about Real Girl?
I mean, I watched it. I don't know if anybody else watched it.
I haven't.
You know I watched it.
would you... I mean, I don't care either way. Like, whoever wants to take the lead...
I'll take the lead if you don't want to.
Go ahead.
Okay, so 3D Kanojo or Real Girl is about your, what you would consider your basic otaku and the fact that he's had no love life and this one girl who is super flashy and very, very like quote unquote popular, like she's that girl. They're very much at odds, and he's just like, you're the kind of girl I like the least. And they end up kind of being thrown together because they keep showing up late to school and have pool duty. And the story kind of goes from there. I don't want to spoil it too much because there's a lot that happens in the first episode. But I really, really liked this show. I went into it expecting it to be, like, trash and absolutely hate everyone because, you know, oh no, the horrible gross otaku gets a girlfriend because the plot demands it. but it is totally not that. I think if you go into it blind like I did, you would be very pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not overly happy about it, the way Pinky is. I'm really intrigued by Iroha, who is our main heroine of the story. She's interesting. She definitely has some kind of a past with the people in school. She's obviously, you know, the quote unquote very beautiful girl, boyfriends, you know, the traditional, I mean, kind of over the top popular quote unquote popular girl with guys at least. She's definitely very interesting when it comes to Tsutsui. I'm gonna have problems saying his name, but Tsutsui, who's our main male lead. Something I found really interesting at the show was that it felt real. So like him and his friend were like in the restaurant, and like either girls from their middle school or I'm pretty sure it was their middle school came up, and they were like, oh my god, these guys are so funny. They're otaku. They're, you know, they talk about all this stuff, nonsense. And like, they just get so embarrassed. And I can relate to that kind of situation because it's like, well, I'm not embarrassed of like liking anime and like, and collecting figures and whatever. A lot of people just don't understand it. In this day and age, like people just don't get it, and it can be embarrassing at some points where they're like, "Oh man, you like anime, you like all these big titty girls and blah 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 blah." It's just like it's not all that, you know. There's more to it than just that. There's video games and there's manga. Like this, like some of this stuff is more interesting than, you know, like real life garbage. Like for instance, I'm watching Jersey Shore right now. And that's, yeah, like, I mean, I think it's hilarious. Like, Jersey Shore is hilarious, but, I mean, it's straight-up American trash.
Right.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, it's trash television. It's hilarious, don't get me wrong, but it's trash television. Like, you don't find good stories, and I'm sidetracking, but, again, like, it had that real feel to it. They're interesting characters. When it comes to the opening and ending, I thought the opening was very bad. I thought it was terrible, actually.
I don't even remember the opening, so that should help you a lot.
It was very like slow, and like it was like a love song almost. Ending was great. I thought the ending was great, which is weird because usually you get a better opening than you do ending. But I thought the ending was very cool. It's definitely going to be an interesting romantic comedy kind of anime. It's definitely only going to get one season, I think, because of the situation. I'm going to give it the 3-episode treatment, but I think I'm going to stick with this show.
Yeah, same here. Like, these characters are very compelling to me. They're multifaceted, they're layered, they're complex. And, like, just from what we've seen of them so far, like, they, like you said, they feel like real people. They don't feel like stereotype anime cutouts, basically.
Yeah. And it's done by Studio Hoods Entertainment, who their animation is kind of like a roller coaster. Sometimes you get bad shows, sometimes you get good shows. This is about right in the middle, average-wise, when it comes to animation.
Yeah, no, which, I mean, I know they've done, like, plenty of, like, really, really terrible shows, but they also did Drifters, which, I mean, if you didn't like the show, the animation, at least, was really good.
No, Drifters' animation was awesome, yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
So, next up, we have Aikatsu Friends! I'm guessing nobody watched this, because it really doesn't seem like, I don't know, it seems like an idol show.
Negative.
I did not get around to watching it, I'm sorry.
No, I figured as much. Alright, so next up we have the remake of Captain Tsubasa by the guys that made JoJo, apparently.
Really?
Yes, really. But I guess from your reaction you didn't watch it.
No. I can't do that many sports anime. Like, I can have like 2 or 3 a year and then I'm done.
Yeah. Sora?
I love soccer, but I've seen too many soccer anime, and I've just been disappointed by every soccer anime I've seen so far.
Yeah.
This might have been different, but I just.
Yeah, no, you know. I absolutely get it. Like, I was actually interested in this, mainly because, like, the original Captain Tsubasa is kind of, I wouldn't say it's, like, legendary or anything, but it's fairly well known. It's, like, it's a thing in anime, basically. So I was like, well, I'm probably never going to watch the original. I might as well watch the remake. But then, like, the other shows that I was far more interested in piled up, and it was like, what are the odds that I'm actually going to keep up with this show in the face of, like, all these other shows? And I was like, it's not happening. So I was actually kind of hoping that somebody did watch it so they could tell me if it was actually worth watching or not, but oh well. So next up we have Comic Girls.
All right, so Comic Girls is about this girl, Kaus, who she draws 4-panel manga, and unfortunately her story is just not interesting. Like, her stories is not interesting, her characters are not interesting, and she can't draw, what was it, beautiful characters, right?
Yeah, she can't draw Bishojo. She can't draw beautiful characters.
So her editor says, well, you should go to this dormitory and you can learn from these other artists because that's where they go to get better. And she goes, okay, you know, I'll do it. She's a little shy. She's a little shy at first, but she wants to go and she wants to get better. There she meets...
Just to briefly interject. Personally, if I were that editor, I would have advised her to sell her work to Haoliners, because I can't imagine that whatever she is working on is worse than Evil or Live. Like, this is an improvement for them.
not as bad as Handshakers.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, let's
apparently, like, this dormitory is, like, super, like, not secure, but, like, it's closed off to, like, regular people. So she shows up, and, like, the housemaid is just like, what are you doing here, little girl? Like, you're not supposed to be here. And, like, she's just scared to death. She's like, oh, my God, but I am supposed to be here. So, like, that's, like, a little funny moment that happens. So she gets in. She meets, like, her roommate who has trouble. She draws, like, what is Koyumi draw again, Pink? I'm sorry.
Oh, she draws beautiful girls and characters and wonderful shoujo style.
Shoujo manga.
But she can't draw boys.
She can't draw boys. So there's your plot of where this story is going to go. Like, you have these two girls who have their faults when it comes to manga, and I just see this show as it. I just see the show with them just getting better, learning from each other. Until you meet two other girls in the story, Tsubasa, who draws shonen manga. It's an action manga, for those who don't know. Kind of like My Hero Academy, Naruto, Dragon Ball Z, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
So Tsubasa, who has the boyish looks that Koyume is interested in, as she could get better drawing boys, even though Tsubasa is clearly a female. And then you have Ruki, who draws...
best girl.
who wanted to draw a nice little story about animals in the woods. Unfortunately, her artwork is too adult, so she draws porno manga.
I relate to her so much because the same thing happened to me.
And like, so, like, so you try to find your inspiration. So Kaos and Koyume go to her room, and they want to know what a true artist room looks like. Side note, these two already had published manga. Like, they're somewhat successful artists, creators, but like, they're still trying to better themselves as well. So they go into Tsubasa and Ruki's room, and they're just looking all around for like Ruki's material on how she can better her drawings, and I'm just like dying. They're just looking for like porno mags, and like they pull out like a school uniform, and she's like, "What do you use this for?" And she's like, "It's for school, damn it." So just like little things like throughout the show has just had me dying the entire time.
The best line is like when she's like, "Maybe she's so good she doesn't need pervy reference material."
I like, just like, her thighs are to die for is the one line that they had. But like Ruki, the thing that I liked about Ruki is that they even say it in the show that they're looking at Ruki and they're like, she's wearing a big sweatshirt, but she's obviously got big breasts. Like, she's a purple, like, from the viewer's point of view, she's a purple haired girl with glasses. And if anybody's seen purple haired girls with glasses, the stereotype for them is that they're well endowed. They're beautiful girls. So she gets felt up, and it turns out she's up. And they're just like, I'm so sorry. Like, I didn't mean it. Like, we thought, you know, since you draw pervy manga, like, you could base it off your own experience. And she's like, I'm sorry, I got small boobs. Like, I'm so sorry.
And then Kaos is like, but that makes it even better.
That makes you even better. So, like, she finds, like, I could see her, like, finding inspiration in drawing her manga better through Koyumi, who is probably the most endowed of the four characters. We have not found any of Tsubasa's faults yet, which is going to be interesting. But so far this show, like after episode one, like, I mean, you've heard it through here, but it is very interesting, very funny. Animation wise, it's very crisp and clean. Mm-hmm. It's done by what was the studio? Studio Nexus, who, I mean, they've done a lot of, like, they did Wakaba Girl, which is like a cute show about cute girls doing cute things. This show is not, in my opinion, and not a show about cute girls doing cute things. Like a show with cute girls doing cute things is like, you know, you have your cast of four or five girls, which you do have here, but you have your cast of four or five girls, like, going to school, like, working in a cafe, you know, working, like, just doing odd jobs, like, around the house. This one is, like, they're set, they're focused on an idea, like, they're focused on bettering themselves, they're focused on bettering their manga, and that's just what the main focus is. So I see it as more like a slice of life comedy than I do as cute girls doing cute things is always going to be a slice of life comedy. You can never really, I don't relate to, like, the cute, like, this show you can relate to, like, you're bettering yourself, like, you want to better yourself. Mm-hmm. Whereas I'm not gonna dress up like a teddy bear and, you know, work at a maid cafe anytime soon.
Yeah, and be like, ooh, ooh, every time somebody, yeah. like, I almost tripped. Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't think the cliche, I think, like, the sexual innuendos in the show are going to be there, like, as we've seen in episode yeah. one. But I don't think the cliches are going to be there, like, oh, senpai, I tripped and blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't think that's going to be there. I think we're going to get a good development show where these characters develop over this series. And I'm really looking forward to it. Like, I'm really stoked. This is going to stick with me.
Yeah, this show's got kind of a Gekken Shoujo Nozaki-kun vibe to it. But it's cuter. One thing I absolutely loved is that they got all the, like, digital art supplies right. Kaos is using a Cintiq companion, and I'm just like, oh my god, oh my god, oh my god, this is a show! I really want one! Yeah, let me gush over art supplies for a minute.
I do actually remember you being upset with Aeromanga Sensei? Yeah, I think it was Aeromanga Sensei, because there was no consistency with her art supplies, so I can understand why this is a nice change of pace for you.
Yes, absolutely. Like, with Aeromanga Sensei, they went from, like, using an Intuos Pro to using a Cintiq, and it's like, no, pick one or the other!
Yes.
Like, they don't even use the same drivers!
I'll take your word on that, actually.
I mean, I don't use Wacom products anymore. I have moved on to a Cintiq alternative, but I can still drool over it when I see it.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't have $3,000 for a Cintiq.
No, oh, dear. I think, personally, it depends a bit on how many shows I will end up wanting to stick with, but if this season keeps up like it's been going, I'll probably want to stick with a good amount of shows. So my plan is, not specifically for this show, but any show that you guys were mentioning that I thought would think like, hey, maybe I should check that out. I noticed this season, like at the end of the season, there's like a period of like, two or even sometimes or just 1 week, but like the vast majority of shows, like this last week this was the case for me, the vast majority of shows have ended, and there's like a couple of shows that I still need to finish, but there's that also leaves like a lot of room to watch other anime, and this week I filled it with like stuff like Library War and such, but I'm like, maybe I'm just gonna save up a couple of those shows and then watch those at the end of the season, and then because I might not have time to keep up with them along with all the other ones, but I might have time in that week because there's very little else to watch at that point.
Yeah,
that's nice. Anyway, that's my idea. But let us continue on to the next one.
Hold on.
Sorry. Yeah, no, go ahead.
The last thing I'll say about the show is that in most of these shows, there is a clear best girl. This show has no clear best girl. Like,
they're Yuki's all best girl.
Like, like the cast of four, and then even the lady who runs the dormitory is. I mean, she's cool enough, but like when you look at your four main females, like it's just a matter of taste, really.
Yeah.
So like,
but they're all
Pinky's,
great.
Yeah, Pinky's favorite is Ruki. My favorite is Tsubasa, but I like them all. Like, not one of them. Like, they're all unique in their own special ways. So.
Right.
Cool. Absolutely, I would totally agree with that.
Right.
Yeah.
Now we're about to get a little angry. So, please.
Yeah,
continue.
Yeah, we're gonna go off.
We're gonna move on to Pinky's favorite anime of this season. So, Pinky, tell us about how great this anime is.
You saw Twilight, right? You've seen this anime. Moving on.
All right. This show
is fucking terrible, dude.
Oh my god, it's the worst. It is this season's Handshakers, I swear to God.
That is so
like
bad.
I'm calling it now.
Like, yeah, I was actually talking briefly with this about this one with Pinky. I was like, I originally planned to watch this myself, mainly because in any season I like to have a thriller in there, because just thriller is my favorite genre. So I was like, hey, this could be my thriller anime of this season. And then I looked at the people behind it. I was like, I'm not sure if I want to watch it. And I watched the trailer. I was like, no, I'm not watching this.
So, yeah, I didn't see the trailer. I just went into clearly, it because Sora was yelling about it. Yeah.
I was intrigued by the synopsis of it. Like, it sounded cool, yeah, but... Yeah,
exactly. And then, but then you get the stuff list, and it gets a little less cool, and you watch the trailer, and you're like, no, I'm not watching this.
I mean, like, good. I gotta like,
the characters...
Thoughts.
Okay, hang on. Let me go over the synopsis I wrote for it yeah. in New in Japan, because...
Not to be biased.
Yeah. So, this story centers around Bella, Tsukasa, who's just your average college student, uninterested in love or the seemingly inhuman murder rapes of women in her city. Until Anzai saves her from a murderous vampire. This supernatural anime promises lots of action and a charged romance with a man who walks the thin line between his monstrous inclinations and his humanity. What more could you ask for? A lot.
Yeah, I was just
Oh my god. It's so accurate.
So how is it with that man a monster action? Or did I take this the wrong way?
Oh my god. Like this girl. My used napkin from Wendy's has more personality than this fucking main character.
Oh my god.
And I'm not wrong, am I, Sora?
No, you're not wrong at all.
Like everybody around her is like asking her all these questions and she's like, yeah, no, I don't need a boyfriend. Why are you still reading about those murder rapes? Somebody's following me. Oh no, I cut my lip. And then, you know, as bullshit as our fucking main girl is, because, you know, I guess we're supposed to be interested in her, but she's the most worthless, boring character I've ever seen. Fucking our leading dude. Oh, wait, no, I'm not even going to get into leading dude. I just had an idea,
and I think I'm right on the money here. I think this is actually a tie-in to Comic Girls. I think this is the adaptation of that manga that the main character from Comic Girls was drawing in the beginning.
No, hers was much better.
That's exactly what it is. Yes.
But anyway, continue.
But the animation is so bad. Oh my god. Like,
and it was
the character
by
designs are awful.
Vision, no less. Plethora
Everybody's
vision.
Got
you
a case.
Plethora of Vision, don't you? No, I don't either.
Everybody's got a case of the uglies. The fucking monster designs are awful. Their teeth are too big for their fucking mouths. All right? Like, they could open their jaw at a 90-degree angle and still not be able to bite anything. Because they've got vampire fangs on the top and the bottom. So they end up looking like a staple remover more than a vampire.
Oh my god, it's...
It's awful! And then they, on top of it, the animation. So they couldn't animate a chase scene properly. So instead of trying to do it like, you know, cutting corners like you would expect, you know, just using speed lines or whatever. No, they couldn't do that. They gave us fucking Blair Witch shaky camera bullshit to cover up their awful shitty chase scene with a fucking cop who barrel rolls out of the car and just starts blam, 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 like shooting mid-roll like he's gonna fucking hit anything. And then this fucking dumbass bitch shows up, like, kicks this vampire's ass, and, like, she's wearing heels, by the way. Keep in mind she's wearing heels. She kicks him down the roof and then slides down a tile roof like it's, like, no big deal. Like, you can't slide down a tile roof in high heels. You can't fucking do it. I'm done. I'm gonna let Sora rant before I go further.
So, the animation... Jesus Lord, like, help me out. You're watching this show, and the characters are looking right at you. Like, they're not looking at the other characters. Yeah. They're looking right at you, not blinking, mouth barely moving, talking. Just going, yeah, check this on my smartphone. Not like, blink. Show me some animation. You're talking to another character. You're not talking to me, the viewer. Stop breaking the walls. Like, help me out here.
Stop looking at the camera.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is at the office.
Like, and then just the eyeballs. Like, they're unbalanced. They're crooked. Like, what? Like,
is like deer in the headlights.
Oh my god! Like, it's just constant deer in the headlights, constant. Then we get to the fighting. It's like somebody's hitting the fast forward button on the VCR. Like, that's what you're watching.
Yeah,
like, you're watching fast forward and fighting, and like it sounded like it too because they're like spouting gibberish and like spouting noise like. How's this entertaining? Like, I do not get it. Pinky covered everything else with the bitch in heels. Like, yeah, she kicks ass. She's awesome. Great character. But, I just don't get it. I'm sure her story will develop. Like, oh, yeah, she's blah, 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 blah. She's a vampire hunter. And, okay, I can get that. But I can't get behind fast forward fighting. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't. Then,
like, play Yakety Sax on it, and it'd be perfect.
Oh, my God. I have two gripes right now, and I don't know what the biggest gripe is. I thought I had the biggest gripe, but I don't know. I don't know what's my biggest gripe right now. I'll start with this. So, something happens to our main female. Something happens. She gets, so our main female gets pushed down, right? She just gets pushed down, shoved, you know, whatever. All of a sudden, her legs are broke. She can't walk. She cannot walk at all. But why not? All she just did was get shoved down. Like, you don't twist your... Like, I don't understand, like, how you can, you know, bust up your knee or, like, bust up your arm if you fall down. Like, I can understand that. But you're getting pushed over. How is it that you cannot walk? Like, are you in that much of, like, shock of what just happened? Or are your legs broke? Like, give me some kind of explanation.
Yeah.
If they would have panned her ankle... If they would have been to her ankle and, like, her ankle swollen or, like, it was twisted or, like, gone, with the way this show's gone, like, you never fucking know.
Yeah, you don't fucking know.
Show me, like, camera, like, zoom in, like, show me, like, her leg and, like, prove to me that she can't walk. Don't just be like, oh, my God, you can't walk. Let me give you a piggyback ride back to your house. For a dude who just shoved you and told you to get out of here, like... Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Then you notice at the worst possible time that this chick has blood on her face. Like, all this time. But you're even looking right at her at one point, talking to her like a normal person, a fine conversation. And then all of a sudden you get triggered. Oh my God, is that blood on your face? Well, why, yes it is. And then shit hits the fan. So, like, that was my second gripe. My biggest fucking gripe with this show is the voice acting. When these people are screaming, when these vampires are screaming, it's like they're putting their mouths inside of a traffic cone and just, like, that is what it sounds like. It sounds like, I feel bad, like, I actually feel bad for these voice actors doing this. Like, they have to be hearing themselves and just going, Jesus, Lord, like, what did I get myself into? Like, why am I screaming into this traffic cone? This is what it sounds like, man. Like, picture a big traffic cone, maybe like 3 feet, 4 feet high, and just going into it from the top and just... that is what it sounded like at certain points. Now, I don't know if it was just like bad. I don't know if it was the studio or if it was just the way these voice actors were sounding, but it was bad. It was really bad. Do yourself a favor. Steer clear.
If I'm not mistaken, the main male lead is actually voiced by Mamoru. Poor guy.
It's not even funny bad. It's just bad. Like,
yeah.
Handshakers was at least, like, funny, like, somewhat funny bad.
Yeah.
This is just god-awful.
Right. Yeah.
There's no redeeming.
There's no redeeming.
Like, Like, Handshakers was funny, man. Toji no Miko had cute girls, so I can see why people would stay on that. This show is so awful.
Yeah.
Everything from top to bottom. Top to bottom. Don't watch it.
Yeah.
Just say no.
Just say no.
Just say no. Don't walk the devil's line.
Say no to devil's line.
Yeah.
Say no to the vampires with fangs so big they could find anybody.
like here's the thing about that. Like, you know, I'm a self-taught artist. I couldn't afford fucking art.
Here you
school.
Go.
You would think the motherfuckers on this show would have an art degree, right?
No.
So you would think that maybe they would have some concept of, like, realism in fantasy artwork, but no.
Clearly.
No.
Hey, here you go, Curb. I will, I'll give you this. So, you can see what we're talking about when it comes to animation with this show.
Okay. Those facial expressions are really quite something.
Like fish eyes,
no,
man.
That's,
like
that's Miss Deer in the Headlights. She always
that's
looks
Miss
like
Deer
that.
In the Headlights. Yes, I can't.
Oh God, she looks like something from the Junji Ito show, and that also suffered from poor animation. But that was like their facial expressions. When people had facial expressions like that, it was supposed to be scary. Here, I think it's supposed to be normal.
Yeah, I figured out who she is. She is the plucky, homely Lifetime movie best friend.
That's exactly
who
she
thinks she's going to be. Yeah. Who offers exposition because our main character can't be bothered.
she about to get bothered.
Yeah, God, this is terrible. Yeah. Okay.
I thought she was going to get eaten because she's the one telling us about all these fucking murder rapes. But no.
Oh,
which, by the way, they make a big deal about that. They talk about they found your semen at the scene.
And oh, like, my God. I forgot about that.
They made a match and it was you. I'm like, where did they get their sample from?
Yeah. What kind of friend is this?
Like, who's going around taking semen samples from average college students? That's what I want to know.
That's the real mystery here.
What kind of police database is this?
Yeah. Oh, God. Well, maybe they'll make a spin-off of that.
Yeah, because they make a big deal that drinking... They make a big deal about the fact that drinking blood makes you an insatiable sex monster. And it's like... Yeah, and it gets you 10 times higher than any drug.
Oh God, so it's not just A2 edgy for you. Tokyo Ghoul ripoff, it also seems to think it's true blood. This is such a hard pass for me. Like, no, I'm not even gonna try. It's, no.
To our awesome listeners, please do not watch the show.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, don't do it. Don't do it. Like, save yourself some time. Yeah. Go watch something
doing it in my pitch voice. Yeah. Do yourself a favor and do not watch this show.
Yeah.
Brought to you by Trojan Condoms. Don't leave your DNA at the scene.
Yes. So much yes.
Grazie.
All right. So off that, we're gonna get a little bit of a quality jet lag. Because off that, we're actually gonna go to Legend of the Galactic Heroes, which is like the other end of the spectrum. That's like, I'm not sure it's the best. If it's the best show of the season, because we're like nowhere near the end of the season, or nowhere near like the point that all the shows have aired. But at least. I will say I'm pretty sure it's the classiest show this season. So, like I said, it's like...
I would agree with that.
So anyway, who's actually seen this one?
I really wanted to watch this one because y'all know that I love me some retro anime, but I did not get around to doing it, and I feel really bad about that.
Well, yeah, you should, because it's really good. Like, it is really good. It is really freaking, like... I don't know if you've read my entry for this, but this was not my most highest anticipated anime of the season, mostly because I was like, I was I was almost expecting them to fuck it up, mainly because I wouldn't be able to suffer the heartbreak if they, you know, if I expected it to be great.
Yeah.
Because, like, the thing is, it was put together by the people who made some kind of basketball anime, which maybe I forgot, but which I'm sure it's not. It's
Kokoro's Basketball.
Yeah, that one. Which I'm sure it's great and all, but, like, it's a sports anime, and Legend of the Galactic Heroes is something else. So I was very worried about it, but no, I super enjoyed this first episode. Like, it is different from, like, the episode of the first show, but it's A, it's a lot more faithful than I expected, and B, it is definitely Legend of the Galactic Heroes. It felt like Legend of the Galactic Heroes, which is a very hard thing to nail, because Legend of the Galactic Heroes is kind of a unique series. Sorry, I'm forgetting the whole intro thing. So, okay, so first of all, before I move on, the first thing you should know, Legend of Galactic Heroes is a 110 episode anime from the late 80s, early 90s, and it details this impossibly convoluted war between three great nations in the universe, being the Free Planet Alliance, the Galactic Empire, and Fezzan. And basically, the Free Planet Alliance is... how should I put this? It's a democratic dictatorship of warmongers. the Galactic Empire is basically the Prussian Empire, but with spaceships. And Fezzan is the one that is basically Switzerland, except much more evil, because they're basically like, yo, we're neutral. We're not supporting anyone. We're not against anyone. We're neutral territory. But at the same time, they're delivering weapons and ammunition and such to both the Galactic Empire and the Free Planet Alliance, playing them out against each other. So that's basically the situation of Legend of Galactic Heroes, and the show focuses on two people on both sides of this conflict. You have Reinhard von Lohengram on the Empire, the Galactic Empire side, and Reinhard von Lohengram is a lowborn but adopted noble who is kind of like a who's quickly risen through the ranks to become a high-ranking commander in the Galactic Empire's naval fleet. And he's slowly but surely built up a reputation as a strategic genius. On the other end of the conflict, we have Young Wendy, who actually I'm not going to talk much about Young Wendy, because he isn't actually introduced until the very end of the episode, and I don't want to spoil things for people who have not seen the original. But that's basically the setup of Legends of Galactic Heroes. Now, the first thing that I want to point out is the differences between two, because there are quite a good amount of differences. The main difference is between the original, the first episode of the original, and the first episode of the new one is scope. Interestingly enough, the scope of the original is much bigger. Like, in the first episode of the original, we are introduced to both the Galactic Empire, Fezzan, the Free Planet Alliance, we are introduced to to Elise, and fuck ton of other characters. The remake actually keeps the focus purely on Reinhard and his close friend Kircheis on the bridge of their ship as they are in this one specific space battle. Which, I mean, that space battle is also in the original, but in the original they can constantly cut to other places where people are, you know, following this battle, and you get a bit better idea of the universe and everything. And, I mean, I think both takes work, but you get a very different kind of show. Like, the original, the first episode of the original did a really good job at setting up the world and giving you a feel of just the scope of this conflict, and just also how much is riding on this battle. You don't have that in the new one because, again, it's just not there. But on the other hand, the new one is a lot more tense. Like, you can really feel the tension that these men on the bridge are feeling at that point. And then you have like Reinhardt, and he's much like the original Reinhardt, he is a strategic genius, but it's also made him very cocky and self-assured. So he's like, nobody can beat me. And you already know, you just know that at some point somebody is going to royally fuck up his plans and a lot of people are going to die. And you know this throughout the entire episode, but you don't know what is when it's going to happen and what is going to happen. And that level of tension was never there in the original. And it made, for me, it made the first episode of this new one a lot more enjoyable than the first episode of the original. Because I think the original Legend of the Galactic Heroes is a great anime, but I can't say I necessarily super enjoyed it. Like, it's a show that I could see the quality in it, but I just was never really feeling it. I was never that involved with it. This new version, I don't have that problem. Like, even though I already knew what was going to happen, because it does follow the same story, I was much more involved with Reinhardt, with Kirchhaus, with, you know, the people on that ship, and in the battle. And I think, like I said, it's very different from the original in that regard, but they're both solid first episodes. They just do different things. You know, there are just also other things that I think they did. Like, I would say, like, the difference is the original, the first episode felt like the start of an epic, whereas this one feels more like a naval thriller. Like, this might sound weird, but the first episode of Legend of the Galactic Heroes actually reminded me very strongly of the first 10 minutes of Master and Commander, which, if you haven't seen that film, you should. It's really good. But anyway, getting back to this. Another thing that I liked was, like, they, even though it was mainly focused on Reinhardt and Kirchhaus, his childhood friend and second in command, who is actually a noble by birth, it was good that they also got back to, like, I was going to say the men in the trenches, but there aren't much trenches in a battleship. But, you know, the people actually doing the fighting, they occasionally got back to them, and some of the officers talking about Reinhardt, and you got a lot more of a, you got a lot better of an idea of, you know, what it's like on the ground floor. And that made things, also made attention a lot more palpable. So I think that was really well done. Also, the dynamic between Reinhardt and Kirchhaus was really well set up. Like, again, this was, like, it's not different from the original, like, the way that they relate to one another, but I felt it a lot more with this new one. Also, because they spent more time with Reinhardt and Kirchhaus, because Young Wenli and a lot of other people that were in the first episode of the original are not in this one. So, or in the first episode of this. So that meant that they had more time to spend with Reinhardt and Kirchhaus and develop their relationship better. Which I think there's a really good dynamic between the two. There's also a really good chemistry between Mamoru Miyano, who voices Reinhardt, and I keep forgetting his name, but the guy that voices Kirchhaus. Like, the chemistry that these two actors have is really good, and you can really feel it. Beyond that, like, there's a couple of technical things that I kind of want to point out. Like, the character design, I know a lot of people don't like them. I like them. I think they're very pleasing to the eye, especially, like, even and they look even better when animated. In general, the animation for this show is top-notch. Like, production ideas spent money on this, and you can tell. Also, just the direction is really solid, especially with, like, space battles. Like, they're very well animated, very well shot. Some of the angles chosen are inspired. This could be a turnoff. Personally, it's only now that I realize, but there is a lot of CG in this, like the ships and everything. That's all CG, but it looks good, and like some of the explosions are CG. But it does actually all look very. It looks solid. It's not jarring in comparison to like the 2D designs and everything. It all blends very well together. Final thing that I want to mention is the music, because the original Legend of the Galactic Heroes didn't have a soundtrack. It had, like, classic music playing over some of the battles or some other scenes, but it didn't have a soundtrack of its own. This version actually has a soundtrack of its own, and honestly, it's nothing noteworthy. Like, I was hoping that Hiroyuki Sawano would do the music for this, because I thought that would be a good fit, but I guess he was too busy, so he just did the opening, which is really good. The opening is really good. But otherwise, the soundtrack itself, it's nice that it's there, because it wasn't there in the original, and I do prefer to have an actual soundtrack rather than just stock classical music. Like, I understand that there was a reason for that decision, but I prefer this version. But it's still, like, the music is It's I wouldn't watch this. Like, this is not something that I would listen to outside the show itself. At this point, anyway, maybe it'll get much better later on and it'll be like amazing. But at this point, music is not really the reason why I should watch this show. Everything else basically is, like, from the dynamic between the two leads to the way that this battle was set up to the animation. This is a class act all the way through. It is well written. It is well animated. It has an interesting story, interesting characters, and it's only just beginning because we're already confirmed 24 episodes. Like, it's 12. This season is 12 episodes. There's confirmed second season of also 12 episodes, and who knows what beyond that, because it's like the original was 110 episodes, and Legend of the Galactic Heroes, while it's over here, it's kind of like a cult thing. In Japan, it is massive. Like, make no mistake, Legend of the Galactic Heroes is, like, huge in Japan. So there is a chance that they might also want to donate 110 episodes to remake. I'm not saying that will happen, but it could. So I'm really looking forward to seeing where it's going. This was a really strong start, and yeah, like this was really good. I can't wait to see where it's going. So that's Legend of the Galactic Heroes, Dinoya Tesa. As far as I'm concerned, I don't know if there's stuff you want to ask or add or whatever.
No, I think you covered it pretty succinctly.
Yeah, I made a whole list of notes on this. I wanted to get this one right. I wanted to make sure that I covered this one properly because, like I said, this one was really good. All right,
that's fair.
We'll move on to the next one, which is Gurazini Money Pitch. It's about baseball, I think. And it's set in the future.
Nope.
I've heard it's really bad. So, but
I've been on all anime team.
I don't know. Okay, I don't know either. All right, so then we're skipping that one. And we're moving on to... Oh, we're moving on to Hinamatsuri. Hinamatsuri. Okay, so remember, like, a couple seasons back, I watched this show called Alice and Zoroku.
Yeah.
Which is about, like, this girl. She was being experimented on, and she found this, like, older guy. And they ended up living together. And it was really fucking shit. Like, I still hate that show. This show has the exact same premise. But this show is, like, what I wanted that show to be. It is... Oh, my God. I watched it together with a real close friend of mine. And we were just constantly laughing. It is so funny. It is so adorable. Oh, this show! I love this show. This show is wonderful. I full-on recommendation. Whatever. Like, it's not groundbreaking masterpiece, you know. But it's just, oh, it's so sweet and it's so funny. It's a good way to pass the time. That's basically what it is. Like, okay, so getting way ahead of myself. So, brief synopsis. So there's this hard-boiled, like, ruthless Yakuza called Nita. And he has just made the deal of his life, and now he is, like, he's actually maniacally laughing about it. He's like, the world belongs to me, haha. And just at that point, a, like, metal cylinder drops down from the heavens, or actually, like, from a portal right above him, right on top of him, and in that metal cylinder, there's this girl, and he's like, well, he does what any sane person in this at this situation would do. He ignores it and goes to bed. That's the end of the show. He actually does that. He's like, yeah.
I got work in the morning. Yeah, fuck exactly. This shit.
Yes. And then the next morning he gets out of bed and, you know, she's still there. She's like, and he's like, huh, he's still there. She's still there. Who the fuck? And so she's like, can you please free me? And he's like, well, why the fuck not? So he frees her, and, like, literally the first thing she does is break his super expensive vast collection that he just spent, like, an insane amount of money on.
Oh, God.
And then continues to threaten to destroy more of his precious properties if he doesn't let her be a freeloader at his place. So their relationship is off to a good start. But despite, like, it is pretty absurd, and there's, like, a lot of like that, like absurdist comedy, which, I mean, you kind of have to be into that, but I really am, so that's cool. But also, like, over the course of the first episode, you actually learn a little bit more about her, and yeah, she's not, the backstory is not the happiest, or at least we don't get the idea that it's not the happiest, and at the same time, he has Yakuza stuff to deal with, and it kind of just blends together, and it actually becomes something, I'm hesitant to say heartwarming, because it's also pretty dark and nasty in its own way, but I don't know, despite that, it was still pretty endearing. Like, I was definitely smiling by the end of it, and this is promising to be a really fun and cute and also pretty weird show. Like, it reminds me it's a more violent Dragon Maid. That's pretty much the best way I can describe this show. That or a good version of House of Roku, but let's stick with comparison to Action Ghost shows that actually go. So it's like it's a somewhat darker, more violent Dragon Maid. Like, don't get me wrong, it's not like dark as in Elfen Lied or anything. It's but like people do get hurt throughout the show, and usually in rather funny ways, though, I will say. Like, there's there's this one scene where she's basically making her way up through a building, and like at every story you see people like flying through the window going like, ouch, oh, and they end up outside on top of the furniture. It's you kind of have to see it, but it's kind of hilarious. It's also more than that. Like, you actually get a good feel for the two leads, and they're actually pretty well fleshed out as characters. He's not just like the gruff Yakuza guy. He actually has a personality of her own, and she's also not just, well, she is definitely not a cute kudere, because like I said, she basically starts off by blackmailing him and continues to do so throughout most of the episode. Like, she has a nasty streak. But they're really cute together, and I can't wait to see where their adventures are going to take them next. So, yeah, that's my take on Hinamatsuri. Did anybody else watch it, actually? I completely forgot to ask. Sorry.
I did.
Go ahead. Sorry. Let's hear your take on it.
What Curb forgot to mention is that when she came out of that metal cylinder, she was butt-ass naked, too.
Is paying attention to the details.
So, I mean, yeah, I always pay attention to those details. So, it was just like, she just comes out, she's like, clothes. And he's just like, huh? And she's just like, clothes. And he's just like, wait, what? He's just like, clothes. It's like that little witty comedy. Like, this is a witty comedy. Like, yeah. This show is just going to be nonstop her saying like the most random things, and then Nita or somebody else just being like shutting her down, and like that's the kind of comedy you're getting. So like she's interested in going to school,
yeah,
as well. So like the teacher's she gets the last name Nita from Nita, and then I guess he names her Mina, or maybe she called herself Mina. I think that was overlooked. I don't know how that.
Oh, no, she calls herself Hina, but Hina. Yeah, and she gets the last name Nita from him.
Yeah. So he's like, he introduces her, and he's like, go ahead, introduce yourself, Nita-san. And she's like looking at the classroom, and he's like, Nita-san? Nita-san? Oh my god, where's Nita-san at? And she's like, oh wait, I forgot, that's me. And the classroom's like, oh my god, she's a hag.
Oh yeah, yeah. This girl literally says like, "This girl has issues."
Like, this girl's crazy.
Yeah.
So it's like little quick witty comedy like that, which I enjoyed. There's a part which she's eating like a bowl of like this super awesome ikura, which is salmon roe, and she eats it, and she's just like, "Now I've become a woman," and he's like, "No, you haven't."
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of that, like, gap fan, but
it's so funny.
Yeah.
With the dark aspect of it, like, I mean, I can see where Curb is saying it's, like, a little dark, but, like, these people are not getting, like, hurt in, like, a gruesome...
No, that's why I specifically said it's, like over the dark.
Yeah. There's something that happened in the beginning which kind of threw me off, which I hope we find... I mean, we have to find out about it. They start off 3 years in the future, and like none of the characters in the show are there right now. So I don't know where they're going with that.
think that's going to be like their end point for this season.
Yeah, so we're going to have to keep an eye on that. If anything, this show reminds me of Cromartie High School.
Oh, I still have to watch that. So
I remember that show.
There's a lot of serious moments, but like it's just fun. Like, so like Cromartie High School is a bunch of like big buff dudes who are like serious guys, but like it's just straight up comedy.
And Freddie Mercury.
And Freddie Mercury. So like this show reminds me a lot of that, where like there's going to be moments, and I'm curious about Hina's backstory too. Like she comes from a place where like killing is a necessity, or like killing is the common thing. So for Nita to be like in the Yakuza, not wanting her to kill people, like that kind of shows like what kind of a guy he is.
Yeah.
No, he's a bad guy, but he's not a bad guy.
Yeah, I think that sums it up pretty well, actually. Yeah.
But I agree. This is a good show, and I would definitely recommend everybody to give it at least a check out if you want a good chuckle.
Yeah,
good exactly. Chuckle here or there.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. It's not like I said, it's not a show that's like gonna go down in history as, you know, one of the anime greats or anything. But it's a show that's just fun and relaxing to watch with plenty of witty comedy. So yeah. All right. Let's see. Oh yeah, next one is in. The next one is actually a second season. I just didn't notice there was a second season, so we're skipping that. So that means we're moving on to Kakuryo no Shadow. I'm sure it has an English title that I don't know, but it's a new show by Gonzo. They're still around? Wow. Okay. Apparently, so anyway, has anybody seen this? It's the yokai in thing again.
Didn't we have that show like 2 seasons ago with the
Just about to say, what, this is not like the Fox Girl show, but this isn't this. I don't know. Did I even watch it?
I watched it. So you have Aoi, who's your generic female lead, who can see the Aikashi, or like the creatures in Japanese culture, who like kappas and onis and shit like that. She gets the ability from her grandfather, who is unfortunately deceased. So one day Aoi is feeding some Aikashi, some kappas, and she meets an oni and she feeds them. All right, no harm, no foul. So she comes back, gets the stuff, and then she gets transported into the demon world when she collects her bowls back or her bento back. So the oni comes up there and she's like, and like throughout the show, she's just like, I love my grandpa. My grandpa's so good. Like he's such a great grandpa. I'm so upset he's dead. So the oni takes her and he's just like, you're my bride now. And she's just like, what? And he's like, yeah, your grandfather owed me a shitload of money. And he sold you. He made you collateral for my debt. And I'm like, what? Like is this,
what?
Is this now supposed to be like a funny anime, or is this a serious anime? And meanwhile, this whole time, they're taking it as a serious, like, this is a serious dead ass anime. Like this, like nobody's laughing. Like it's not showing like a picture of the grandfather going like tee-hee, like with his tongue like curled up and shit. Like, like he did this on purpose. And she's just like, no, I'm not doing that. Like I'll just work and pay off my debt. And he's like, well, you're going to have to work in the demon world then. And it's just like, okay. But nobody in the demon world wants to hire her. So, like, I don't know where this show is going. But, like, she never questions the grandfather. Like, she doesn't even say, like, oh, my God, why did grandpa sell me off? Like, I can't believe it. But every time she says something, it's just like, did you even love me? And just like, is this show serious right now? Like, is this seriously happening?
Yeah.
So like, what I gained from it. So like, she meets like this Kitsune who like feeds her, like brings her a dinner, and like, she ends up meeting him again, and they open up like a restaurant. They end up opening a restaurant. Like, that's the shit. Like, that's the first episode. Like, she finds this Kitsune. They open a restaurant. Like, she cooks for him, saw him.
And, oh, shit.
So, like, that's where this is going to go. Like, she's going to cook in the restaurant. So, like, I can already see where the show's going. So, like, the grandfather is not a piece of shit because he probably knows how nice the ogre is. Like, he hung out with the ogre, like back in the day. Like, they show it, like him hanging out with him. So, like, my theory, I mean, it's probably a pretty obvious theory when you watch it, is that he knows how awesome the ogre is and how well, like, if something happened to him, because she has nobody else, if something happened to him, she would take care of him, or, like, he would take care of her, and, like, he would be, like, a nice guy to, like, marry. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, like, I figure, like, they had a good past together, like, the ogre and the grandpa. So that's how I see, like, this show ending. It's just, like, I don't know. It's just like bland and generic. It's just not really worth the time or the effort to watch it. And the fact that the show's getting 26 episodes is absurd. It really is. I don't see what you need to. Shokai no Rinne got the same treatment. That got 3 seasons. That dealt with a lot of supernatural stuff. That went on a little too long. And for this to get 26 episodes, like they're gonna have to dive deep. It seems like they really wanted to rush the relationship between Aoi and the ogre in the beginning too. So while I am intrigued a little bit when it comes to the relationship, it's just not worth it. No, honestly, I would give it like I would definitely give it the 3-episode treatment. I will give it the 3-episode treatment. Other than that, like I would steer clear from it. I would not recommend this show.
Yeah, it sounds very meh.
Yeah,
it's very meh.
I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, to be honest though, like there's 2 things that come to mind, which is why it's getting a lot of. Plus, I mean, it's also, you know, Gonzo, and they haven't done much in a while, so I'm guessing they had some funds for this.
The animation was alright, and like I think I watched it because I like the idea of a college student, like a female college student, being the main heroine instead of like.
Well, you could have also watched Sword Art Online Alternative. That also has a female college student.
We'll get to that.
We'll get to that.
Sorry. Or Devil's Light. Devil's Light has a college female college students on all the race nowadays, it seems.
Yeah, but she's got no. Hold on. I don't want to get back on.
We're not going back.
Sorry. Let's continue. Sorry, I'm just being vicious here. Let's continue.
You're making things difficult.
Sorry. So yeah, but no, I get it. Plus, I mean, mediocrity is never seems to be a reason to cut a show short. I mean, that Sword Guy anime, which is like the very definition of mediocrity, is getting a second season. And I didn't even manage to make it through the first season because it's like, it is the most generic, boring ass fucking anime. Oh, like, it's got nothing to recommend it. And it's getting a second season because, you know, reasons. Because I guess Netflix thought it was worth putting extra money into it. I don't know. Whatever. Not important. Anyway, point here is, worth a show, not worth watching. Moving on. And so next up we have Kirato Prichan. I think. It's another idol show. Idol
Yay! Shows are
great. Nah, I'm all right. I already have my number one idol show in my heart right now.
Yeah, we both do. This nothing will be ever top that idol show.
Yeah, and that's going to be our next show, Magical Show. Nah, go ahead.
Now
we're going to show that Pinky can rip the shit out of.
Oh, God. All right, so this show is so mediocre, it makes me angry.
Oh, wow. That's... What else is going to happen to me? Okay, go for it!
It's wasted opportunity times 10.
Oh.
Like, to the nth degree, it's wasted opportunity. Like, and the whole joke just comes down to, it's a dude in a dress. Isn't that funny?
Yeah,
it's not.
Like, yeah, and the rest of the jokes are just, like, Big Bang Theory style. Look, these things existed. Look at this reference. Yay, we're funny.
Ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, it's just... Like, the setup, they could have done so much more with it, and they didn't, and that's what irritates me. Like, her mom was a magical girl, right? And she's been keeping it on the down low for years, but she hasn't been able to do it for the last month because her back hurts because, you know, she's getting old and shit because she's a middle-aged woman at this point. And so...
That's already, yeah, like the worst start to anything, basically.
Yeah, yeah. So the Yakuza show up,
well,
and they're,
I mean,
like,
this could actually be fun if they had the mother as the main character. Like, I would watch that. That would be fun. It would be fun.
Yeah, I totally watch a fucking middle-aged magical girl. Like,
yeah.
Take on the PTA and shit. Like, do it.
Yeah.
I'm here for that, 100%. Fuck you, Karen, and your Chips Ahoy at the bake sale. I ain't got time. But yeah, like, it relies super heavily on these magical girl tropes, and there's so many references to all these magical girl shows. Like, I counted Madoka, Sailor Moon, Cutie Honey, let me think. What were the other ones? I want to say there was a Utena reference in there. God, there was Precure for sure.
Of course there was.
Precure is massive. If you're not joking on Precure, what are you even doing with your life? in the first season, the main villain's name was Passard, okay? Like, if you're not ripping on Precure, like, what are you doing? And just so many more. Like, it's ridiculous. But, like, I don't know. Going into this, I thought, you know, since they're idols and they switch genders and all that, I'm like, oh, maybe it's, like, a reverse Sailor Stars thing. And maybe they'll play it straight for laughs. But no, they did not. And it sucks because it's like I said, the whole joke is just, ha-ha, look, it's a dude in a dress. Isn't this funny? He's fighting a tentacle monster now. Yay!
Yay!
Yeah, like, I watched 2 episodes of it, and I did not enjoy it at all.
Jesus, there's 2 episodes of this shit out already. Jesus.
Oh,
Christ.
Wait, were there 2 episodes out when I watched it? I can't remember. I watched everything that was
available. It felt like 2 episodes. That's...
Yeah, it felt like 2 motherfucking episodes.
Oh,
and it's just bad.
Right.
Like, it's so mediocre. Like, it doesn't do... It's the wasted potential that frustrates me.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you're gonna do a show like this, you have to use all your potential, or, like, this show is, it's just, ha-ha, it's a dude in a dress. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
And they're trying to go for that, like, Excel Saga-style humor.
Well, Excel Saga is great, but...
Yeah, but
I
they...
think, you know, Matsumi
it's
is
like
actually...
They,
closer to that than this, from what I read.
Yeah, like, somebody watched Excel Saga, explained the humor to somebody else, and then they're like, yeah, let's make a show about this.
Yeah, I don't know. That really doesn't sound good.
It's not. I would really skip this one.
Yeah, no, I think I will. I think I will.
Yeah. Oh, and the other thing is, I forgot to mention, she's in love with her childhood friend, who is also an idol, who's super, super good, but he doesn't like her when she's a girl. He only likes her when she's transformed into a super buff dude. Yeah.
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 Just, I can't even bother to niffle at that one. That's just...
Yeah, it's like, what?
Yeah, I'm sure there's an audience for... I'm sure there's an audience for this.
Yeah,
and they'll all probably enjoy it, but yeah.
Yeah, it's... Mm. It's meh.
Yeah, that's definitely how it sounds.
Fortunately, we have a better Maho Shoujo show.